You're listening to the Isaka Podcast. In today's Jumping Off the Page series podcast, we're speaking with Corlaine Barclay, author of the Isaka Journal Volume 1 article, The Road to GDPR Compliance, Overcoming the Compliance Hurdles. In this episode of the podcast, we're discussing the European Union's General Data Protection Regulation, or GDPR, how to achieve compliance with it, and why some organizations still haven't. So to begin, can you give us a little bit of background about the GDPR, the organizations that it affects, and the scope of it?
Okay, and that is an interesting question because we have been reading about and hearing about what GDPR is for quite some time. But in essence, it is the EU, the European Union's data protection legislation or law, and it is there to protect individuals in relation to the processing of personal data and the free movement of that data. So whether or not it's a controller or a processor, typically any organization that processes personal data or is responsible for personal data, they have a responsibility to protect that processing of that personal data. So that is what GDPR is about. It provides some guidelines and provisions and mandates for organizations to comply with. Concerning which organizations, I touched on that a bit earlier in talking about controller or processor. So you may wonder, what is a controller or who is a controller? It is an organization, an entity that determines the purpose and means of the processing of that personal data. So they have the responsibility to determine, how this personal data, whether or not it is the name, some of the common types of personal data would be your name, address, location, for example, any internet identification, for example, would be personal data. And a controller is one who determines the purpose of that, and a processor is one who processes the personal data on behalf of a controller. So that would be the type of entities. And typically, within the context of GDPR, it primarily focuses on entities that are based in the European Union. And one of the particular articles or provision talks about whether processing takes place in the European Union or not. So if you have a company and you process data or you're based in the European Union, then likely you are GDPR is applicable to you. I think the complexity or the level of interestingness comes with persons or entities that are based outside of the EU. So if organizations are based outside of the EU, then the questions need to be asked are whether or not the data subjects, if that company has customers or users in the European Union, and the processing or the type of activities that take place involves offering of goods or services, or the monitoring of the behaviors of the persons in the EU, then it's likely that those companies need to comply with GDPR. So that, in a sense, is what the scope of GDPR is. It talks about, and we touched about what processing is, and it's really any operation that is performed on that personal data. So it may seem very vague, but it's really about whether or not if you collect data, whether or not you store that data, whether or not you use that data, you delete that data, or do anything relating to the information that is attached to any of these type of data subjects in relation to the European Union data subjects, then it's likely that the scope of GDPR falls or is applicable to you.
And so your article says, now more than ever, customers and business partners will be looking at the privacy profile of organizations and their general attitudes to the protection of personal data. What's causing this shift that's making people think more about privacy?
And this is an interesting question because I think the advances in technology, people are demanding more, expecting more, and having increased awareness. So a customer or user may have certain expectations of the companies or the entities in which they have a relationship with. And if it is known that that company respects privacy and is taking all the appropriate technical and operational or organizational measures and safeguards to secure the personal data of those users, then it's likely that the user will not only feel comfortable, but have some level of comfort in interacting with that entity. And similarly for business partners, whether or not they're within the same country or across borders, it is important to know that if you are having the appropriate safeguards, then the person that you trade with, that you engage business with, has similar type of safeguards. So you know that there is appropriate privacy and security measures being applied to the processing of personal data. So I think that is really what it is. There will be increased demands and expectations placed on entities to ensure that they are compliant with basic privacy requirements.
And so why does the compliance approach need to be holistic and strategic?
Well, looking at the legislation in its totality, one of the common themes among it is really implementing or requiring organizations to implement appropriate technical and organizational safeguards or measures. And what does this mean is actually looking at your systems and your infrastructure, also looking at the people and the processes. And with any particular changes that are being made, then it will affect the whole ecosystem. So, for example, we're looking at if a data subjects want to have access to their information, that would mean that you'll have to have the proper systems in place to facilitate that information reaching you. You have the right person trained to ensure that they know what to do, have the appropriate systems that stores that information so you can search and provide the user with that information. So it affects the whole organizational ecosystem, and as a result, one needs to take a holistic and strategic approach in doing your assessment to ensure that all the different areas are actually managed and actually assessed, and you know, everything is kosher to some extent.
So your article said that in 2018, only 20% of IT and privacy professionals in the US, the UK, and EU countries considered themselves to be GDPR compliant. Why was that number so low, and what are some of the broader impacts of that?
Well, looking at the first question, why was the number based on the survey would be so low first? Despite the two-year implementation timeline given for entities to become compliant or prepare their organizations for the legislation, many persons or many entities were caught off guard. And that would be for many reasons. Maybe they didn't fully understand the extent in which the GDPR impacts their activities and their processes. So they may have underestimated the complexity and the nature of the work that they need to do to get to being compliant. Many persons may not have understood that GDPR actually applied to them. So especially those entities that are outside the EU, for example, many persons may not have considered that this particular legislation was applicable to them. So as a result, that may have impacted their compliance activities. What is the impact of such low compliance rate? Certainly, one of the more apparent impact or implication is the risk to privacy. Certainly, we're in the era now that privacy is becoming certainly more important. I mean, it has been in existence for a while, but persons may not have taken it as seriously as they should have. And we talk about privacy by design, for example. So you have also increased data breaches. So those are some of the implications if you have low compliance rate. And also, you can get particularly different sanctions or fines that are applied to organizations if they're not compliant. So those are some of the impacts.
And on that note, what factors might affect an organization's ability to satisfy GDPR requirements?
Some of those factors, I think it all boils down to awareness, go on. How much do you know about the particular requirements and how they impact the organization itself? the access and availability of resources. Do you have the resources and access to the right type of people, the skilled resources to conduct your compliance activities? Do you have the funds to be able to undertake the compliance activities? So those are some of the factors, you know, and of course, an attitude towards privacy and compliance. I think once entities have a positive attitude towards privacy and compliance, then they'll be more likely to ensure that they try to satisfy the GDPR requirements where applicable.
So your article outlines 8 steps that organizations can take to overcome some of the GDPR compliance hurdles. What are those 8 steps?
One of the first things was to confirm applicability of GDPR. And for many persons, this may seem like a no-brainer, but it's important to determine how your organization or how GDPR may affect your organization. So if you're in the EU, then it is more clear-cut. If you're not in, if you're outside the EU, then it becomes a more, you have more pointed questions and analysis to be done to ensure or to verify that GDPR applies. So you ask the question, does GDPR apply to your operations? Do you have customers or users in the European Unions? So once you have that, then that is the confirmation of the applicability of GDPR. That's the first step. So once you confirm that, then the second step is cataloging the key requirements and looking at the different articles and provisions of GDPR. It is recognized that the different types of entities, whether or not you're a controller, processor, or third party, there are different requirements. So it is important to be able to understand and appreciate your organizational outlook and how GDPR may impact that organizational outlook, because it's based on that that you'll have specific requirements. So you may ask the question, what are you required to do as a controller? What are you required to do as a processor? How does your operational circumstances impact your GDPR obligations? And then the fourth step is conduct a privacy assessment, which is really understanding what is the privacy profile and maturity of the organization and appreciating what are the risks and vulnerabilities associated with the privacy posture of that organization. So you may look at the termination of the types of personal data that is being processed by the organization, whether or not they're sensitive data, for example, whether or not you're processing data relating to a minor. So all of those questions will become, I guess, you will have an answer to those questions in your privacy assessment. And then you, step 5 is conducting a security assessment, because they go hand in hand. Privacy and security, I think, is two sides of the same coin. And in this particular step, you would ask, what is my current security profiles and what are my risk and vulnerabilities in relation to securing the personal data that is being processed by the organization? And the sixth step is classifying the compliance gaps. So after you've conducted your assessments, whether the privacy and the security assessments, then you'll be able to identify the gaps between what should exist in the context of the GDPR and what the organizational reality is. And then once you have those, then it is looking at ways and means to remedy those gaps. And that would be the 7th step of conducting a remediation. So how am I going to go about fixing those gaps? And then finally, the 8th step is compute performance, which is, you know, how am I doing now, really is the question in essence. So after you've done all that is required, what are the lessons that you've learned, what it is that I need to learn and adapt going forward, then that is how you assess and compute the performance in this round, because we also have to appreciate that compliance is an ongoing process. So it is not just done once and then you forget about it. It's a continuous review and assessment to ensure that you meet the GDPR requirements. Those are the steps in essence.
So we've already seen other regions start to pass privacy laws. For example, the state of California in the United States recently passed a data privacy law. What are some changes that we might be able to anticipate in the regulatory landscape in light of this growing emphasis on privacy?
I think it is exciting times for data protection laws, really. I mean, they have been in existence for decades now, but maybe in the public domain, they haven't been known. So more and more, the awareness from a public perspective is being known. You'll see more conversions of these data protection laws across jurisdiction. You'll also see increased adequacy decisions between countries. So because data protection legislation impacts trade, and it's important to ensure that your trading partners have some similar level of safeguards for personal data, that is part of the adequacy decision profile that one would see over time also. And I would say that the empowerment and improved visibility of supervising authorities would be some of the things that we're seeing. So we'll be seeing more conversions, we'll be seeing the power of the supervising authorities or the oversight authorities. We'll probably see more sanctions and fines and increased responsibilities for entities. You know, if, as we had talked about earlier, the increased expectations and demands. So the regulatory landscape would reflect this increased demand and expectations of respecting and protecting the privacy of individuals.
Okay, and do you have anything else you'd like to share with our listeners?
Just worth repeating that compliance is an ongoing process. Understanding and appreciating the requirements of GDPR first and foremost is important. And while it may seem complex, I think it is an interesting piece of legislation and it is appropriate for our times. And then understanding how those particular articles and provisions apply to your organization and what you can do to ensure that you can comply is important. And looking at privacy by design. So in the context of privacy by design, you know, that is an underlying theme of GDPR and other type of data protection legislation. But if organizations seek to employ privacy by design in their operations, then certainly it would become easier for compliance to happen.
Thanks, Kerlaine. And that's all we have time for in this ISACA podcast. But if you're interested in learning more, read Kerlaine Barclay's ISACA Journal Volume 1 article, The Road to GDPR Compliance, Overcoming the Compliance Hurdles.